Hey, you guys, welcome back to Listen Bitch Presents. Tell me why you're special. Y'all, this is the arena, the where we stop pretending success on the outside means anything if you're dying on the inside. Because the truth is, a lot of people look like they've made it, but they're exhausted. They're disconnected, quietly stuck, miserable. And they're chasing more, they're proving more, they're grinding harder. Sometimes it takes everything stopping for you to realize you're just building the wrong life. You guys know God doesn't call you to burn out for success. He calls you to live in alignment with purpose, with strength, and with truth. So if you've been grinding, but something still feels off, this conversation is for you today. Today's guest is Chris Woods from High Level Success to a moment that forced him to rethink everything. Chris, thank you so much for being willing to come in the hot seat. I launch everybody from the same starting point. Give us your elevator pitch. Who are you? What do? And what makes you special?
So thank you, Brandon. I'm a certified professional coach who help people build sustainable success by leaning into their strengths and replacing fear-driven habits.
I read your bio and, I think the work you're doing is amazing, but let's like go back to your origin. You had a hospital moment in your life. Let's tell me about that.
Sure. So at 40 years old, I flatlined in the hospital for about a minute and 10 seconds. They called Code Blue and brought me back, with the paddles. So I wake up in a room surrounded by all the best doctors in the world. And they're like, Mr. Woods, do you know what happened? And I said, I don't. And I said, you flatlined and we brought you back. We got to figure out what's going on with you. So I stayed in the hospital for a couple of weeks. They ran a bunch of tests.
Wow.
Come to find out, I had contracted cardiac Lyme disease, and the impact on it had stopped my heart. It wouldn't necessarily do that to everyone, but it was the way that my body reacted to it. But fortunately, I was in the hospital because I wasn't feeling well about it. So they then said, we're going to go install a pacemaker in your chest to safeguard against anything crazy like this happening again. And you've got now another 50 years to live. So I was like, this is a great second chance. What do I want to do with this next 50 years? So I had achieved a lot of what people would call success professionally. I'd worked for Google for several years and earned degrees from top schools. But realized once I started to do a lot of these reflections on this that it was very much fear-driven and it was not an enjoyable way to live life. And I felt like I was now the kind of the guinea pig to build a blueprint or a framework. And how can you still be successful, but do it without the fear and do it with love? And so one of the analogies I use to people, and I actually picked this up by watching a Eddie Murphy Netflix bio documentary last year, and he said that he feels at this stage in his life that he's in a sailboat as opposed to a rowboat. So instead of feeling like it's him against the world and he has to actually do it and it's all on his effort, he's found a way to kind of tap into the things that are around him and that nature and God has provided. So he's not just laying back and letting the ship go. He's actually leveraging what has always been there for him. He just didn't see it.
I love that analogy because I do feel like we're all rowing the damn boat. And imagine if you can just kind of change the sails where the
Yeah.
wind is blowing. That'd be incredible. So this point for you, you're in the hospital, like life stops, everything's frozen. I would call this your mess. This is the
Yeah.
mess. This is kind of where the shit hits the fan. What are you feeling? Like, what are you experiencing? Is there regret? Is there like, is this where like you kind of had to face yourself in the mirror and say, man, am I really living fulfilled? Like the dark side of this, because I can't imagine, you outside you're successful, right? But I think this is where when the mess happens, we realize internally like we're not aligned. What
Yeah,
was
and
that
that's it.
like for you?
Sure. So that's exactly the word aligned, right? So I think that's the key for everything is to try to find alignment and have enough of your kind of senses in place that you can recognize when you then go out of alignment, right? It'd be great that we're all staying in alignment 100%. But when you first had never recognized what that actually is, and then it gives you the gift of then being able to see when, feel when you're in it and when you're not. So I looked at it as after the fear, when they gave me, listen, you're good. You've got some time on this. It was really about gratitude. And I was like, wow, this is great. And not a lot of other people get, you know, this shot. And I looked at it as like, okay, so as opposed to blowing everything up, how can I make things better? You know, right? So it's kind of the thing a lot of times in business, they ask you to take a look at is like start, stop, and continue. Mm-hmm. You know, what's the things that we want to start doing? What's the things we need to stop doing? And what are the things that are working and, you know, you want to continue? So that ended up being the lens that I used on it. And from there, I ended up going a little bit different direction business-wise because I recognized that I loved being able to go in and fix things and build things as opposed to being somebody who just was plopped into a big organization. Here, you just stay in this box. I was doing it because I needed, you know, the income. But when I realized I was now kind of empowered to lean into my strengths, it also made me face my fears. So it then took me a few years to kind of build this up. And what I now do in this stage of my life is I'm, you know, both a certified professional coach as well as a life coach. And the two foundational things that really made a big difference for me and what I've been sharing with others is one, getting in touch with the things, the fear that holds you back. So we're all put here, and you had said at the beginning, you know, being part of God's plan, we were born and put here for a purpose. And really, you know, we're kind of whole. We then learn through other ways and the world puts us and makes us feel maybe that we're not. So we're not enough in some ways, as well as we need to maybe shrink ourselves. So the two biggest things that I do, and I reference it in a book I recently published called Balls and Brains, a framework for living your best life by overcoming fears and maximizing strengths. So the balls parts of it, and I named it that as an attention grabber, you know, much the same as the way that your podcast has a great name that gets people's attention. Yeah. The balls part of it is really about fears. And I love the quote from Peter Crohn, who you and your audience might know. And he says, who would you be in the absence of your concerns? So doesn't ask what your fears are, but says, who would you be? And it lets you then open up that part of your mind and shut down another part of your mind and said, if I didn't have my fears, I would do this, I would do this. I would essentially be living more fearlessly. And this is what my day would look like. And this is what my life would look like. So that's the balls part of it. And then the brains part is not about being good in school or anything related to that. It's more about, have you identified what you're really good at? The things that, you know, you were made to be doing around here. Know what those are and how much of it are you actually doing? Because what I recognized for me, even though I was doing well professionally, you know, my top five or top 10 strengths through this thing called a Clifton Strengths Finder that you can take, I was really only doing maybe one or two of them. And the rest of my job was a lot of these other things that I just wasn't all that good at. And that was where the grinding came from. I was doing these things because I quote unquote had to, when I could zoom back out and say, all right, if I get a chance to now start this from scratch, I first need to confront my fears. And then the second thing is I need to lean into the things that really make my heart sing.
Yeah. That's a lot to unpack right now. And I really need to learn to be able to take notes while I'm in this conversation because there's so much. I think the first thing, I do want to talk about the fears thing, but also I think what makes a really great coach, and I think what makes our impact resonate with people, is that relatability. And so it's great to talk about the framework, but if you're going to meet people where they are and you're looking at your experience in hindsight, were there signs of everything you were doing where you know, chasing the wrong thing? Because I think so many high achievers feel unfulfilled. So sure. what are those like warning signs where you just kind of know that they're where you were, right? Because those are the people that
for sure
meeting is exactly where you were, but that unfulfilled part of this. And then what were the exact fears that you had to face to, I mean, you suddenly are just like, I'm going to redefine success. I'm going to change everything I'm doing. So yeah,
So I think the warning signs were a couple. One was literally every morning waking up and worrying what was going to happen today. It's actually a line from an Eagles song. It's like, every day I wake up and wonder what's going to happen today. Yeah. And so I guess you would call that anxiety. So it was both anxiety around, oh my gosh, is today the day where everything falls apart? Is today the day where something comes up at work or in, you know, raising my family or other things that I have that I'm simply not going to be able to handle, that I'm holding on in kind of crisis mode. And at any moment, it could all kind of unravel. And then I think the other part of it may get, you know, referred to as depression. So if anxiety is the concern about the future, the depression about the back also is, have I made a lot of these wrong moves on these things? And actually, is it ever going to get better? And it then ended up creeping in the mindset that sometimes you're taught as you're growing up, whether it's through religion or just, this is, you just get a job and suck it up and retire at 65 and then you can live your life. And it was those types of thoughts that were in my head, but it was telling me back, I guess it was my soul telling me, it's like, this isn't what you're here for. It's more than this. So you're kind of chasing things that are more ego driven than soul driven. And I didn't know that, right? This was the senses that I was getting throughout it. I can only now connect those dots and look at it backwards. So that was it. It always felt kind of unaligned and never in flow is the way that I say it. I felt like I was grinding in all aspects of my life, yet seemingly doing very well. I was making the money. People thought I was, you know, had the world, you know, by the balls, so to speak. And it really wasn't the case. So it was like I was scared witless pretty much every day. And so as you referenced, it's like, so what turned on it, though it was kind of a, you know, a snap in terms of a flat line and then coming back, it took me a while to do this in terms of asking the right questions and going through the right process. And I've now synthesized things from, you know, not just business model books and coaching, but more around kind of like spirituality and using yourself more as a tuning device, right? As opposed to a blunt object that you just need to kind of get through and survive. And the one thing I also say to people is I'm under no delusions that some people don't have that ability right now. They're at their stage and it's just grinding every day and they have to keep their head above water, right? It's like the Maslow hierarchy of needs. But the question I think is just so powerful, I'd ask people to ask themselves at any moment, is that Peter Crohn quote, who would I be in the absence of my concerns? It at least kind of uncovers a North Star for you.
Yeah. No, I love that quote and I actually haven't heard that. So thank you for sharing that with us. And I mean, we're human. I feel like, you know, fears are kind of the forefront in everything. Everybody has them. They're there. Why do you think that people are staying stuck in fear? And you know, they know better. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, they're full of shit if they say they don't, but yeah. You know, they know better. So why do you think they're staying so stuck in that fear?
Yeah. So it's patterns, right? Even if it's unhappy, it's known. It's now just a habit that they've been doing for years. It's the neural pathways that have been grown up, you know, built up for the longest time. And it's like anything. Sometimes when people stay in a lousy marriage, they're like, I know I'm really unhappy on this thing. And I'd like to be able to get out of it. But you know what? I'm afraid of what's on the other side of it. And a lot of times people say, that's it. I'm going to change. I'm going to change. But change is hard. And it requires more than just, you know, it's the same thing with New Year's resolutions. People can sometimes do those for a few days, but then they fall back into patterns. So I think it's natural. You know, in my book, I call fear is the OG. It's the thing that's been here forever. And it's what's gotten us, our genes into the next generation, right? So it's like, this is why we're here, is people were afraid of the right things, you know, and survived the right things. But in this day and age, when there's a lot of things coming at us, you know, anxiety is one, you know, overarching one. I provide people or maybe even remind them with a framework that you and your audience may already be aware of, the TEA of thoughts, emotions, and actions. is to get people to be aware of these things, because the first step is awareness. So it's like, I have this fear, and what I'm doing is like, all right, let's unpack it a little bit. So it comes from the thought. So let's say, what's the thought? And so for me, my personal experience of the things that would, you know, cause me so much anxiety in the past is my thought, if something new was coming up, was like, oh boy, here's the thing that's going to, it's all going to unravel, and I'm going to be exposed that I'm not as good at this, or this is the thing that it all is going to fall apart. So that's the thought. The emotion on it would have been fear and anxiety. And then, so the action would actually be, for me, would be an inaction. It would be avoidance or procrastination, or try to find a way around it, right? And what I've now tried to reprogram myself, and I still recognize this in myself, is what's another thought I can have about this? Not should, right? I'm not telling you you should. So the whole idea, I remember hearing, is don't should all over yourself, or don't should all over others, right? Yeah. Is instead of feeling the fear around it, what if the thought, instead of, oh my God, this could go really bad, is right. What if the thought is, this is an opportunity? This is great. So this is actually an opportunity for me to either learn new things or show I can do something else. Yeah. So the emotion, instead of that being fear, is actually excitement, right? So fear and excitement are very similar emotions, as you know. It's just, what's the thought behind it? And then, so lastly, the action, instead of the action being, I'm going to avoid it and procrastinate, the action ends up becoming, I'm doing this. I'm excited about it, right? So that's just a simple example of what worked for me. But those are the things that I then recommend and coach my clients on, is I can't tell you from the outside what's going on. You need to help, you know, get this through. And let's then actually apply something that we can be doing to, not to say necessarily reprogram, but reintroduce and build up pathways that will then eventually become your default.
Right. Is that your 5-step framework?
It's part of it. So the 5 steps is the first one. I normally start with strengths. For the book, I start with fears, just because balls is the attention grabber. So I start with strengths. We end up taking this Clifton Strength Finder diagnostic or other ones, and it gives you back, these are the top 5 and 10 things that you are really good at, and this is how it shows up for you, and this is how you can be doing more of it. And then we map it against, how's this actually against your current life? The second part is fear. I have them take an Enneagram. So it's both a personality test, as well as it uncovers how fear shows up for you. And then that ends up bringing up the opportunity for us to be able to recognize, this is how it's showing up for you, right? We do it. Third step is around goals. So now that we know what you're really good at, and now that we know what the fears were that were holding you back, the world is your oyster. What are the new goals we want to do, and how we're going to set those? And then the final 2 steps is around mindset. So what's the things that we need to be building in on this thought, emotions, actions, and other things? Not just, hey, I want you to think this now, go do it. How do we build this from a mindset? And then lastly, what are the habits, the things you need to be doing every day in your day-to-day life to make this part of who you actually are?
Yeah. No, I think that's an incredible 5-step framework. This is the thing about people, and with every show I do, with each podcast I have, I think I just get super passionate about helping people understand that they don't have to wait for the big event. Had you not had that big event, where do you think you would be? And how do you speak to people to help them understand they don't have to wait till they flatline?
Yeah. Like,
it happens now.
For sure. So where would I be? I think I'm destined to be doing what I'm doing now. I think I would have eventually arrived here, but it would have been later in life. And the way that I look at it is, I would have had less time to impact more people, right? So I think that's what would have been. I think that I would ultimately have been here, just it would have taken longer. Yeah. And then how I communicate that to people is, I think I have a bit of credibility, because I'm like, listen, it actually happened to me. So I'm not just, and I always say I'm coaching not from theory, but from, you know, from real experience. So I'm like, it literally happened to me. So it doesn't have to happen to you, right? So as opposed to me just telling you, I really have an idea, or I think I could do this, I'm like, I'm living the proof. As well as then the now what is, you know, the 5 steps that we put together. And I didn't take that off a shelf somewhere. This is, you know, what I actually went through for myself. And now that I've gotten here, as opposed to being able to give people a life-changing trauma event, mm-hmm. I can give them the lessons if they're open to it. without them having to flatline, and without them having to wait. You know, we could do it now. But what I always say is, you know, and that's what the classic line they always say is, when the student is ready, you know, the teacher will appear. So with my, you know, my purpose here and my book and the communications that I have, the intention is for it will land with who needs to hear it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I mean, that's very smart. And it's the truth. Your people are always going to hear you. Do you see a pattern, or like, where do you think most people are self-sabotaging and they're not even realizing it?
I think they don't take a look at their thought patterns. We could talk about habits too, right? But if I say the habits that you have in you, right? So is there some sort of quote, they say, people don't choose their destiny, but they choose their habits and their habits choose their destiny, or something to that effect. And I think that that's right. And I think that so many of us just don't take a real hard look at what we're doing every day. And it's not just the physical activity of the habits that we're doing. Before that, it's the thought patterns. It's how we're seeing the world. And, you know, it's the classic thing that they say is that two different people can see the same thing, but look at it differently. So back when I was in sales, a classic, you know, story you would always tell is two salespeople for a shoe company were sent to like a remote part of Africa, say to speak. And so they get off the plane and they see these, you know, multiple villages, and there's hundreds and thousands of people running around and nobody wears shoes. And so the two salespeople both get on their phones and they call back to their boss. And the first one says, this is not a good market. Nobody wears shoes here. And the other guy calls back and says, this is an awesome market. Nobody's wearing shoes yet. Yeah. Right. So the whole idea is that people being able to see the exact same things in life, but looking at it through a different lens. And I think people get stuck in their own lenses, and it's hard to break out until they have a willingness to take a look at it.
Yeah, no, I very much agree with that. Right. You can lead a horse to water. You can't force them to drink. So Chris, speak to someone right now, someone that's listening, they feel completely stuck in the grind. What's their first right move? What's the next thing they need to do?
So I'd say, in a quiet place, ask yourself that question I mentioned, right? Who would I be in the absence of my concerns? Because the beauty on that is it allows you to envision it and feel it. And as you and your audience probably know, like, this is the true thing that they always say around faith, as well as around manifestation, is like to feel what it will be like to be the person you want to be, right? So then it's like you can then get there, and then you will eventually get to the energetic level where you attract the things that you want to be. You have to be it first. And it's the first most powerful step, because only you know, right? You can envision yourself. So who would you be in the absence of your concerns? Mm-hmm. Think about it and write it down. How would you feel first and foremost? And then what would your life look like? What would you be doing, right? So don't give yourself any cap on it. Just go and just write it free flow. And after you've got a chance to do that and go back and look at it, I'm assuming it's going to very much inspire you. And so with that, you say, you know, this is actually where I can be and where I am meant to be. And that becomes your North Star. And if you can think about it, it actually can happen, right? So it's like it exists in some way and you actually know it. So that should be the first most powerful step on that. And then I'd recommend them take a quick little inventory. So they're like, if I'm that person, how would that person act? What's their day look like? And then the first thing is, you can then say how that looks different from what we're currently doing, right? And you could say it's massively different, maybe. But what I then recommend people be able to say is like, okay, if this is where I want to go, to get there right at all at once would be a revolution. Revolutions are scary. Yeah. I would say, how do we make it an evolution? How can you get there now that you know that that's where you want to be? And that's the first step in terms of inventory. And we're whole people, right? So it's like what we do for work, it's what our personal lives are like, you know, it's what our health is like. So there's a lot of components that you can do to it. But if I come back to the question you asked me, is like, if somebody who's feeling really stuck right now, that's the first thing to do. Ask yourself that question and then use that as your North Star.
Perfect. Where before I ask my last question, where can people find you? Where are they looking for your book, and how do they work with you?
Sure. So my name is very simple. People used to always say when I was a kid, they thought it was a fake name, but it's real. It's Chris Woods with an S, and I'm a coach. So my website is chriswoodscoach.com. So chriswoodscoach.com has both the link to the to my book, which is sold on Amazon, as well as has more information about how I work with clients, including lots of testimonials of people who have changed their lives as a result of it. So that would be how I'd ask people to learn more about me. And if they wanted to reach out to me, there's a right on the website they could reach out.
Yeah, that's amazing. You guys, make sure you get resourced. The links are in the show notes. My last question before I close this out today, what is, because I think, you know, I don't want my listeners to think that the arena disappears when you figure out your shit, because it doesn't. Yeah. So what's the next big scary thing that you're working on, and what is it that's keeping you up at night lately?
The next big scary thing I'm working on is, so I'm doing podcast interviews such as this. Yeah. This is the first time I've been doing them, and this is my second week doing them.
Okay,
thank you. But my intention is to eventually create a podcast of my own titled Balls and Brains and be able to facilitate similar conversations the way that you are as well. Yeah. So I right now have no idea how to do it, but this is like a first step as I'm being a guest on others.
Yeah.
That, you know, take the first step and the path will appear. So I think that's what it is. And then what keeps me up at night, and this might sound super arrogant, but nothing's keeping me up at night right now at this stage in my life. So I'm blessed. Both of my daughters are grown and doing really well. I recently moved to a warm climate, and I'm doing what I enjoy doing. So nothing's keeping me up, but what keeps me going is being able to help other people so that they don't have to learn it the hard way that I did, and that they know that there's a path. It's their own unique path, but they don't have to make it up.
Yeah. I think that's incredible. And this is the part of the show, Chris, where I get to tell you what I think makes you special. And it's not just that you achieved success, right? That's not even the gold star in the moment. It's incredible. But it's that you were willing to question it. You did not stay stuck in that illusion. You're willing to change the lens. You face the truth. You rebuilt from it. And I think it's incredible now that you take your mess and you're helping people to stop living in fear and actually step into what they're capable of. We need more Chris's in the world. I think that's the powerful part of this. That's the rare part of this. And that's what makes you special. And to everyone listening, you don't have to grind your way into a life that you don't even enjoy. God did not call you to build something that drains you. He called you to use what's in you, your strengths, your voice, your calling. You don't have to wait for the big event. That mess is already existing, because you know it every day you wake up and you feel like shit. So actually live the life that you're made for. Be honest about this. Get aligned and remember, you know, that mess is your message. Even the burnout, even the wake-up calls, even the moments that forced you to stop. And that is where your authority is built. And if you've been feeling that pull to use your voice, you know, to say what you've lived, to turn your story into something that actually helps people, that's what I do as the voice authority coach. Okay, let's take your story, your experience, your truth. Let's turn it into something that actually impacts people, whether that is a podcast, a platform, or something bigger. Let's build it the right way. So if you're ready to stop playing small, come work with me. If this episode spoke to you in any way, please share it with someone who needs it. Okay, you know someone that Chris can't reach, and they need to know his message. They need to know about, you know, Balls and Brains. So please make sure you share, leave a review. It also helps the show be seen. And if you guys are ready for the hot seat, come tell me why you're special. Chris, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Brandon. It was a pleasure.